The Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley.
Oh, yeah!
On 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader.
What is this?
We're talking Notre Dame football, the NFL, the Cubs, and more.
Oh, yeah, I like this idea.
The Leprechaun Lunch.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
With Sean Stiers.
All you do is drip.
I have to dribble. If I give it to you, you just shoot.
And Evan Sharpley.
You're a chucker. You chuck.
If it's happening in sports.
Fumble!
We're talking about it.
Flag on the play.
Now your hosts.
Woo!
Sean Stiers and former Irish quarterback. Evan Sharpley.
Glad to have you with us at Five Star Dive Bar in downtown Elkhart. We are on at a special time here today. Of course, we've just got done talking to Darren Pritchett back in the studio after Brian Kelly's press conference, and you heard a few of his comments from the noon press conference
foosball
today.
Foosball is here, huh?
Foosball? What are you talking about? Oh, football.
I think there's a foosball station, though, here at Five Star Dive Bar over there if you want to play alone in the arcade room.
Back in the corner.
Yeah.
And, of course, they've got Golden Tee and everything else. And, out here at Five Star Dive Bar.
And the wings that we've already talked about.
I mean, we always talk about the wings, but I could talk about those for a while. And a couple orders of starch for you there.
Yeah.
Some French fried potatoes.
Oh, all right. You know what? Who might eat those is Lucy. I think she's going to be eating all those fries.
All right.
Because she likes those.
Does she?
Yeah.
I saw her put a pretty good dent in some last week, I think.
Yeah, she does a pretty good job
in
at
the,
that.
In the chicken
she had,
strips.
She had her first solo swimming class last night.
How'd that go?
Better than expected, because I thought there were going to be some tears, because I had been in the water with her for the last couple months, but I dropped her off with the deck manager, and she walked Lucy over to her class, and all was good.
I wanted to be sure and give a shout-out to an old friend, Tony, who I saw earlier here today. He's been an usher at Notre Dame Stadium for a long time.
Awesome.
And so I walk in, and I'm getting ready to set stuff up, and all of a sudden this guy comes up to me. He's like, hey, Sean. And when the press box was on the other side, we used to see each other all the time over there. But what does every usher at Notre Dame Stadium have? The yellow hat,
yeah.
Right?
Was he wearing it today?
He was not wearing it. And it had been a while since I had seen him. So I'm like, Tony! You know, so shout out to Tony.
You're out of uniform.
That's what, and it's, and you see some of those guys, and you're used to seeing them all the time. They've got that hat on. It's like you almost don't recognize them without their...
I know you from somewhere. Where are you
That's
from?
Exactly right. So it was good to see Tony over here earlier today. We'll let you hear some of Brian Kelly's comments from his press conference that you heard here on 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader, in just a little bit. We'll remind you, speaking of those wings, about the smoked wing special that they have all summer long here at Five Star Dive Bar. A pound for $7, 2 pounds for $12. They come with French fries as well. Your choice of sauce, whether it's buffalo, the Nashville hot sauce, or I think they've got some barbecue, whatever it happens to be. So any of that kind of good stuff.
We got to dial up this competition, though, at some point. What's the prize?
I'm
2 pounds during a commercial break.
I think that's what it needs to be.
I'm good with that.
I think it needs to be 2 pounds during the commercial break. What's the prize going
to
be?
The prize, I think, needs to be a custom shirt with our faces on it. I like that.
Get, like, someone to draw the caricature
kind
of shirt.
Oh, that would even be better.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. I think we can make that happen. So if we get someone here that comes and eats 2 pounds during one of our commercial breaks, we will give you a limited edition signed caricature shirt of Sean and Sharpley.
Your mouth is writing checks that I don't know if we're ready to cash just yet.
That's all right. I can pay. I'll pay for the shirt.
Okay. Evan is...
I got a connection. I got a guy.
Evan's an ATM as well.
I got a guy on the shirt. Well, what if it might only be one person that's able to do it?
That's very true. But I think that's a good idea. We'll make that happen. I see a sponsor going on the sleeve.
Well, there we go.
And we'll be rip-roaring and ready to go. How fired up are you ready to get into some football here?
Well, so here's the deal. I had an extra hour for the show to prep. So, like, you know, and with the press conference, I think we're ready to go. We got fall camp coming up. The season is how many days away? I know you've got the countdown.
I do. 31 days away.
31 days away. It's on a Monday night.
That's what this sheet says anyway.
It's so Monday night.
Yeah.
September 2nd.
Labor Day night, September 2nd, Louisville, fall camp.
Are you going to the game?
I will not be going to
the
game.
You're not going to the game?
Nope.
That's all right. I'm not going to the game.
That is a short trip, though, when you think about it. I hadn't even really thought about that.
Well, I thought about it because my brother lives in Memphis.
Okay.
And that's kind of a – maybe we could hang out there for a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, who knows?
That wouldn't be a bad idea,
maybe.
Actually.
We'll see.
I'll keep that on the back burner.
Have they set the spread yet on that one?
I have not seen it.
No?
I know they did at one point. I think all the season openers have spreads. I want to say it's at least 2 touchdowns.
Okay.
I'll check during our next break or here in the near future and see if I can find that. I think they're favored by at least 2 touchdowns in that game.
I would probably buy that.
I think
so
as well.
Do I sound more young and energetic without the beard this week?
I
just got a message from one of my buddies, Josh Miller, who I work with, and he told me because I probably shaved 10 pounds of beard hair off of my face.
Because last week you were just on the initial kind of fringe of not like the Dallas Keuchel. Like you were getting to, if you let it go farther, you were going to get into the caveman Keuchel, those kind of beard looks.
I would agree with that. So
Did your wife discourage that from happening by any chance?
Well, if she had it her way, I probably would shave every single week.
Right.
But I let it go probably a little bit longer than I had planned. So usually it's about when I let it go that long, then it's 10 pounds of body weight off of my face and 10 years of life off of my face, too.
I mean, you do.
Am I looking 22 today?
You look like you could be a fifth-year guy right now.
I was good at my fifth year. That was a fun year, Sean.
I bet it was.
That was a fun year.
What did you take, 1.5 classes?
No, that was my hardest semester. I was student teaching over at
Adams. That's right. I remember hearing stories about that from Mike Cass over there.
Coach Kern, who's still the golf coach there. I saw he was in the newspaper recently because he caddied for one of the senior PGA players.
Really?
Over at Warren Golf Course a couple weeks ago.
Very interesting. All right. Yeah, but it does. You look infinitely younger without the
Now that we're outside of this rabbit hole.
I know.
31 days away.
Yes, 31 days. They're reporting to camp at Culver Academies this weekend. Now, the media is going to be able to watch full practice Sunday from 10:20 until 1 o'clock. And I've noticed the morning practices are 10:20 instead of like 10:30 or 10 o'clock. But we're going to get to see.
Are we on almost 5+ years at Culver now? Is it longer than that?
I want to say it's right around there. Yeah.
Okay.
That sounds right. Right in that range.
I might just need to take a day trip and go down there.
Why not?
Yeah.
Sunday morning, get your coffee, whatever it happens to be. You can get your yog in down there.
Well, they have a very talented rowing team, nationally ranked.
That's right.
And Jacob Page, who trains over at Sharpley Training, he's on one of the teams there.
Any chance you can get.
Yeah.
Get those plugs in.
Good plug there.
It was. I like the way you tied that in when you brought up Culver. So Sunday is the first of 5 full practices we're going to get to see between now and August 21st. The others are August 8th. That is next Thursday, as well as Saturday, August 10th, Saturday, August 17th. And then that's inside Notre Dame Stadium, by the way. And then Wednesday, August 21st. Which is also media day, and we're going to get to see the first hour of 3 different practices, the 12th, 19th, and 23rd. So Darren asked you.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Is that right?
Five full and 3 partial.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
You should have a pretty good pulse on the team.
Brian Kelly made, he kind of cracked the joke at the start of the press conference that we're going to be embedded, essentially, with all the viewing we're going to get to do of practices over there.
All right. That's good.
Yeah. So we'll get a lot of opportunities to see him, which is good for us, good for our listeners and everyone else. We're excited about that. What's the biggest overreaction we could have from watching the first practice? Because there are always overreactions the first day of practice.
I guess I'd go either way. This team is going to win 12 games or this team is terrible. I mean, that's just kind of how it always is. You know, it's never as bad as it seems during the first practice, and it's probably not going to be as good as you think it is during the first practice. And what I would say with that is, like, if there are big red flags during the first practice, then maybe there are some concerns. But usually, I mean, it's, okay, we're going to go through the stretch lines. We're going to make sure that we get all of our assignments right today. A lot of it is pretty base to get things rolling.
Yeah.
You know, even from an offensive and defensive standpoint, it's still going to be pretty vanilla. Why? You know, this is the first time that the coaches really in an organized setting have had access to these kids. When? Since the spring. So it's going to be some install, you know, for the young players that have been there that maybe weren't early enrollees who are doing some summer workouts. This is going to be their first taste of what an install in fall is like, where you're prepping to play some games. So, you know, you're always going to have those brash overreactions on this defense looks like the 85 Bears, or, you know, this offense is going to hang 45 on every team. You don't know those things yet.
Yeah.
But if guys do come in and, you know, whether they don't pass the eye test, they don't look like they're moving well, you know, any injuries, or if there are a lot of mental errors and mistakes on day one, certainly that's some issue for concern. But you have to take it with a grain of sand. You know, it's a process. You're still a month away from playing. What you see on day one is not necessarily going to be the product you get when you watch them play on the second.
Here's something we talked about last week, and of course this came up during the press conference today. Captains, that's something everyone's been asked about. They didn't have captains in the spring. Brian Kelly said he wanted to wait and see kind of what happened over the summer. So camp is about to start, and he was asked about that today, and he still has not named captains. One thing he did say is initially he was saying, you know, you might not have five or six guys like maybe we've had in the past. It might be a much shorter list, but then he was asked about that specifically today, and what he said is, well, I'm going to go back on that. We might actually have five, six, just because of those the hit squads that they have over the summer that work together and do all these different things when they're training together over the summer. He said that apparently there was a lot of good leadership that they saw out there, so they might have more than less. But he said it's probably going to take into maybe in the first week of camp before they announce that. So what do you think about that going into camp? No captains that first week of camp.
I guess, you know, based on what he said, it's a little more reassuring. There was a kind of an embarrassment of riches, I think, last year as far as the number of leaders that they had on both sides of the ball. They had a lot of guys with a lot of experience, a lot of success on field, and had been in the program with the program for a while. Who I think knew how to take some of the younger guys under their wing and, you know, this is how we do things here. And those guys are gone now. So, you know, thankfully, those guys did a pretty good job. I think it was a little disconcerting that maybe, you know, even one or two guys didn't assert themselves in the spring and saying, and maybe they did, but they wanted to
but
wait.
But they just wanted to wait
yeah, they
do the whole
to,
thing.
They wanted to wait till they had, you know, the whole crew of however many captains they were going to have.
And he did say there will be player input, which you would want.
I think so. I think that's important on, you know, if it's a specific position group or you're looking on the offensive, defensive side and you're saying, you know, from even if you poll, say, maybe the freshman and sophomore and say, hey, who are the guys that we're really looking to? And they may be some younger guys or underclassmen, but, you know, guys who have been in the program or showing some of the younger guys the ropes, they're going to give you a pretty good barometer of how things have gone in the summer. Because, you know, overall, the coaches do have contact with players in the summer, but really it's going to be the strength and conditioning staff, but it's gonna, a lot of it's going to be player-led. So the players are going to dictate then, you know, who are the guys that were stepping up? You know, it's X, Y, and Z. Those were the guys that, you know, when things got tough, I could turn to, or they were coming over to me and saying, hey, you know, you've got this, you can do it. So I'm okay with that. I hope it doesn't linger too long. Granted, we don't know what's going on behind the curtain on, you know, they may already know. They may have already announced those things leading into fall camp, but we just don't know for a week.
Could be the slow social media trickle, possibly. Who knows?
They've got to get the videos ready to put on Twitter and Instagram.
That's right.
You know.
Get some shots of them those first couple days of practice and all that kind of good stuff. Again, Brian Kelly spoke earlier today, his fall kickoff press conference here on 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. And in our second segment, we'll let you hear from Brian Kelly, and we'll share some thoughts on some things that he talked about. Just kind of running through some of the other noteworthy things before we get to some of the audio. Chase Claypool, who will be stepping up, we expect, into the number one wide receiver spot, had ankle surgery over the summer. He is cleared to do everything, and they expect him to be rounded into physical form with more football-related activities. So we'll see how that goes. Aaron Banks had foot surgery in June, and Brian Kelly said that he has recovered from that, integral part of the offensive line at left guard. And, of course, we talked about the captains as well. So those are the two big things. Chase Claypool, Aaron Banks with some off-season
so all positive, really.
Surgeries.
That's
good. Minor surgeries, I guess. Yeah, nothing big, no real concerns. I know he said that Sean Crawford, he expects him to be back in there.
Man,
and
I hope
be able
he can
to
stay
compete.
Healthy.
It'd be nice. I heard Eric Hansen talking yesterday about the fact that he essentially hasn't gotten out of the month of September.
No.
In his career at Notre Dame, and I'd never really thought of it that way.
He's one of my favorite players that has never played.
Yeah. And when he has been on the field,
he's so good.
At such a high level, but just haven't been able to get past that hump. What do you – we talked about the overreaction possibility. What are the most important things we should be looking for Sunday?
Most important things you should be looking for.
Because it is the first day, yeah. And again, we don't want to read too much, but what are some little things maybe that we should be looking for out there?
I mean, I think, you know, a lot of it is you're going to look – I would look to the coaches. How upset are they on the first day?
You would hope that they're in a good mood on day one,
they
right?
should be, you know. Don't mess up the stretch lines, okay?
Yeah, that's right.
When we're going through our drills –
And, I mean, that was – I remember, I think it was last – it was either last year or the year before, you know, they were teaching – the freshmen still about
yeah.
the stretch lines
Here's
and how
you
do these
stand,
different things.
You know?
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, I think that's one of the things early. It's really, you know, for me, the first – we could call it the first week, but let's say the first couple of days, it's an attention to detail. If we want to borrow maybe a coach's term on you should be where you should be when you should be there.
Yeah.
You know, there's not going to be a lot of exotics. You're probably not going to see a ton of blitz schemes from the offensive side. You know, the defense is going to be in base a lot of times. There's not going to be – you're not going to get tricked. When you're going through meetings, you know, with your position coaches, you're going to have a script on what plays are expected and where, you know, where you should be lined up. So I think it's just going to be, you know, you're going to have an overall feel of crispness of the practice, not Christmas, but the, you know, how
how crisp it
yes,
is.
Yes, exactly. You know that, you know, you've got that apple, the crunchy taste, you know, when it kind of pops like a honey crisp apple. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to have that type of feel for the full practice throughout whatever aspect it is. If you're talking offense, defense, when they break out and you go position groups or you're doing special teams, there shouldn't be a lot of errors mentally early on. You know, it's you're going to see that maybe a little bit more in the, you know, week two or week three when you're building off of install from week one. So, you know, for me, the first couple practices are – not that you don't want to look at them because there's going to be so much excitement,
uh-huh.
but I would say, again, if there are big red flags where they're, you know, if Brian Kelly has to call the team up, you know, within the first 30 minutes and say, guys, we're out here playing football for the first time for real, you know, really since, let's say, the bowl game, because
yeah.
the spring is the spring, I don't need to infuse energy into you. You should already be bringing that. So,
unfortunately, we haven't seen that the last few
no,
years.
We haven't. So, you know, energy, attention to detail, those things for me are what you look for early on. And then as the fall camp progresses, then you start to pay attention a little bit more to, you know, who is playing more consistently around the football, but then also maybe who is executing at a higher level where they're not getting called out by the coaching staff for making errors. Was that a good answer?
I think that's good.
Okay.
I think you hit it there.
It wasn't really as simple. I mean, it's...
No. I mean, it never is because you're dealing with close to 100 people out there. So, and you're talking about high-level football. They're coming off a college football playoff appearance. Focus doesn't seem like it's been a big issue for these
Shouldn't
guys,
be.
But yeah, I mean, that's obviously a concern
if
it is.
Have been lifted.
Yep, absolutely. Speaking of expectations, they are number 9 in the preseason coaches rankings. You good with that? You think right around 9 is a good spot for them?
I don't know. Preseason rankings and lists.
I mean,
it's because we don't have anything else to talk about, Sean.
Yeah,
you know, it's because there's always a media darling every year. And I would say probably over the last 3 years with Jim Harbaugh at Michigan has been the media darling, even though they haven't beat Ohio State. They're projected to win usually the Big Ten or close to it, even though they haven't beaten Ohio State. So, you know, those rank – and it's I think it's harder at the college level for preseason lists than at the NFL
Because there's so much turnover all the time.
You know what you have, you know, on your roster, usually yearly at the pro level, at least with your main cogs, right? Usually like quarterback position, your line, and pretty much your skill guys. There may be a couple of spots where you have some rotations, but I would say overall you kind of know what to expect on a yearly basis, unless there's some big trades or, you know, draft picks. But at the college level, because you have guys graduate or leave early for the NFL.
Or transfer portal.
Jeez. You know, it used to be that transfer portal was like this really small hole you could barely fit in. And now it seems like, man, that thing is huge.
It's
a black hole. Your name just gets warped into it. And it's like,
that's right.
So, yeah, with that, there's a ton of turnover. So, I think you have a pretty good feel, or should maybe, for the top five on a yearly basis. But outside of that, and you may have some fringe teams outside of there that may sneak in. And have a really good season to get into the top 10 or top 5. I'm okay with Notre Dame around 9 or 10. I think based on what they lost, maybe in that 10 to 15 range is maybe a little more.
I mean, that's kind of what I've been, like, the gut feel has been in that range.
I don't know if that's where they're going to end up, but I think just based off of, you know, here's who exited. I mean, there are some pretty big and important players that left Notre Dame's defense now that are gone, and a couple of guys on offense too, where you're saying, man, they you know, attributed to a lot of the production on both sides that aren't there.
So much of the preseason rankings are based on what happened the year before, which again is like, on the one hand, you look at Michigan and everybody loves them. I mean, they got drubbed in their last two games.
And they lost their whole defense.
Exactly. So that's I still don't understand why. But like you said, the media, or even the coaches apparently, are in love with Jim Harbaugh, putting him up there at number 7. The coaches are buying into that. So we shall see. I mean, we're going to find out pretty quickly, because they've got two games, Louisville and New Mexico, to get things figured out. And that's a span really of 3 weeks because of the Labor Day. They don't play that weekend of, what is it, the 9th, I guess, or the 7th, I guess it would be, or whatever it is. But anyway, they don't play that weekend because they're playing on Monday, the 2nd, and then so there is almost 2 weeks in between games, New Mexico, and then, of course, they go to Georgia. We'll find out right away. I mean, if they don't pass the eye test in those first two games and things are close, like Ball State last year, and then they go down to Georgia, there's going to be a lot of hand-wringing going on.
Yeah,
they
won all their games, even though they didn't play well against Ball State last year.
That's right. Okay, we're going to take a timeout again. We had the Brian Kelly press conference earlier today here on 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. That's why we started at 1 o'clock instead of noon today here at Five Star Dive Bar in downtown Elkhart. So we will take a timeout. When we come back, we will roll out some of the comments from head coach Brian Kelly, let you hear them, and we'll kind of give some of our thoughts on the things that he's talking about, including Kevin Austin, the wide receiver. What is going to happen with him? We've kind of heard little things floated around. We will. He was asked about Kevin Austin. We'll let you hear that, as well as Ian Book, Phil Jurkovic, the linebackers. A lot of different stuff. We'll let you hear that coming up next. Some thoughts from Brian Kelly. Don't forget, Five Star Dive Bar, the Smoked Wing Jumbo Wing Special. Throughout the summer here is the lunch special. $7 for a pound of wings, $12 for 2 pounds of wings. Your choice of sauce and, of course, your ranch, your blue cheese, whatever it happens to be, and you get French fries with those as well.
And a customized shirt purchased by me if you do the 2 pounds during a commercial break.
Still working on that. We'll take a timeout and then back with some Brian Kelly comments on Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley, 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley, Five Star Dive Bar, downtown Elkhart, and of course right here on 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. Glad to have you along with us for a time-shifted edition of the Leprechaun Lunch. We're usually on from noon until 1 o'clock, but we're on from 1 to 2 today because of Brian Kelly's press conference earlier today. And let's just jump right in and kind of get some thoughts from Brian Kelly, some things that he was asked about at his press conference earlier today. Evan, And that starts with wide receiver Kevin Austin's status. He was asked about that. There were some kind of things going on in the fall, and that came up at the Brian Kelly press conference earlier today.
Well, he's still on our team, but it's a day-to-day process with him.
I told you it was going to be a short comment. So there you go.
That's good.
He's still on our team, but it's going to be a process with him.
He ain't playing.
He didn't say the word traits.
He ain't playing, though.
But if you're reading between the lines.
Read between the lines.
It's traits.
Shawnee ain't playing.
Just read the lines is what you're saying.
He ain't playing.
Yeah. For how long? I mean.
We don't know.
Yeah.
See, if he would have mentioned traits, it might have been a 4-game suspension. Maybe this is only 2. We don't know.
That's very true. Good point. So Kevin Austin, one of the most talented receivers on the Fighting Irish roster.
I'll tell you what. Brian Kelly has he's pretty good at the political side here of how he words things.
Always has been.
I have to give him props for that.
Yeah. So that's Kevin Austin's status, if you want to call it that.
Day to day.
Yeah, exactly. He is day to day.
So you better believe, though, that Eric Hansen from the South Bend Tribune is probably going to ask a day to day question when he shows up.
Wouldn't be surprised.
So how is Kevin Austin doing?
We will get to
day to day
talk to Brian Kelly after practice and some players as well on Sunday on a day to day basis. So, well, a guy that we talked about last week. Let's get to a little more meat on the bone now with some of these comments.
Was that a wings pun there?
Some a little
meat
bit
on the bone.
Sounds a little bit.
Good.
Just finished another one in the break. So, a guy we talked about kind of in detail last week is the backup quarterback, Phil Jurkovec.
Yeah, we did.
Mechanics have been a thing with him. I mean, it's the second year in a row with a different quarterback. We're talking about mechanics. Last year
what
it was Brandon Wimbush.
What the heck? Why is this
weird, isn't
happening?
It?
Yeah.
So the question to Brian Kelly was, do you change Phil Jurkovec's delivery? Here's the answer.
We stay away from it. I've always philosophically stayed away from motions. It's just you're entering into an area where they've had so many reps at it. To get into changing motions is I've never had much success with it. Let them be who they are. I think it's by and large most of it is the mental aspect of the game. Get their confidence back. Work on their footwork. If you do those things, I think you're better off. We stay away from, you know, trying to make major any arm angle throws. I just haven't had a lot of success with it. So as it relates to Phil, we haven't been, tinkering or tweaking with his motion. We just want him to get back to being confident about who he is, and I've seen that. I've seen the way he walks around this building now. I think you're going to see a guy that's going to have some really good success this year.
And Notre Dame fans, that's why he's the head coach of your football team. That's great. You don't want to do a complete overhaul of a throwing motion after this guy has probably been throwing the football since he was 4 years old. You know,
apparently he's tweaked with his motion quite a bit going back into high school over the years. And we talked about that last week about it's not really good for you. Isn't it just to figure out, I mean, whatever you did got you to this level. Shouldn't it be about finding the confidence to just make the throw and not think about how you're throwing it?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, to what Brian Kelly said, is it's a confidence thing. You know, forget how you're doing it. Just do it and make sure that you're sure of where the ball should be going. You're getting it out on a timely basis, and you're putting it in the right spot. So, and right now with 31 days until the kickoff, that's not the time to do it. You know, if this question was asked in the spring, would it maybe be a different answer? Maybe not. But you know, behind closed doors, then maybe you could say, hey, you know, let's try to get you a little more upright in your release versus you're here. Hey, your elbow's dragging a little bit. You know, we've got video evidence of you doing that. Let's try to maybe, you know, integrate some of this so that you're focusing on getting your elbow a little higher, a little more forward, things like that. But right now, now is not the time. Right now is for him to – it is. It's, again, it's to walk through those doors, walk through and be on the practice field and thinking that he is the best quarterback on that field.
Yeah, I mean, if there was a time, it was May and June. Just like last year, Brandon Wimbush did the biomechanics stuff with Tom House and that whole crew. And, I mean, you could see some differences, but there were obviously still issues there and maybe –
My favorite part of this, and I spoke to this as far as Brandon Wimbush was concerned last year, is, and Brian Kelly talked about footwork. I think it's more, you know, you can clean up a lot of things with your upper body if your lower half is more in tune with what it should be doing. You know, right now within the quarterback training world, over-rotation is overcoached. You know, bringing the backside all the way through and spinning through. You watch the top-level throwers. You watch – just go watch Tom Brady, okay? He's how old now? And he just –
I think he'll be 42 within a week or two.
He just posted a really cool video of him throwing. You know, he threw – I think there was like a sidearm throw in it. There was a deep ball. There was kind of a mid-level throw. And what you see from there is – and it's kind of a hot topic – or a hot word now, hot button word with a lot of quarterback coaches is connection, right? And it's what when he's releasing the football, both of his feet are on the ground. So you're seeing that's overcoached with a lot of quarterback trainers. And I was part of this for a while, was the back foot was almost off the ground at release. Mm-hmm. So if you're able to control what your lower half does, your upper body is going to be much more consistent, regardless of you whether or not you have like a picture-perfect release.
Well, and I mean, Philip Rivers doesn't have a picture-perfect release. Again, it's a matter of figure, and I think there's some people who would compare Djurkovic to him. It's just a matter of figuring out a way to make it work. Go with what you've got, I think, because the more you're focusing on that, the more you're thinking, and the more you're thinking, the less you're actually playing and making the throws.
I think it's smart to not mess with it right now.
Yeah.
Get him ready mentally. Make sure that his head's in the playbook. He's watching film. He knows where the football goes. The physical side, there's a reason why he's at Notre Dame. He's not a bad football player. So it's just got to be, he's got to make sure that he can make the checks and the reads at the line of scrimmage. You know, let him throw the way he's thrown. I think that's a smart thing to do.
So, Djurkovic, of course, presumably the number two quarterback going into camp, Ian Book.
I have heard some good things, though, about Brendan Clark. And I watched some film on
it,
too.
You mentioned that, yep.
You know, I think he's a natural thrower. You know, it's not it doesn't look forced. I think if you compare him to, like, an Ian Book, you know, Ian coming out of high school, when I watched film on him, and I'm not going to, like, pat myself on the back and say I knew that he was going to have the success he had last year.
Uh-huh.
But he was a smooth thrower. You know, he's a cool cat. You know, he's one of those dudes that you get in the, you know, get in a QB session, and you're like, man, I don't have to say a lot to him. Like, you throw it, good job. You know what I mean?
What else are you going to say?
Some guys are like that. So, yeah. And I've heard some good things about Clark, too. So I think right now, you know, albeit you have a lot of inexperience behind Book, I think you have two guys, one in Phil who has the want to be great and maybe is not as pure of a thrower as Book is, and then somebody who is coming in with some really good, clean throwing moves in that quarterback room.
Yep.
But I will say, you know, I mean, Tommy Rees is going to have his work cut out for him to make sure that those three guys are prepared in case what? And Casey and Book is not the guy, or he gets hurt, or something happens.
Yep, so Book is the starter. Here's Brian Kelly on the next step for Ian Book.
I just think continue to work on his own craft. I think he knows the little things that he can be better at. You know, we've addressed them internally about those things, but I think he's already begun, and that is to make others around him better players. And you know, I think what we've seen is a leader, and we put him in leadership position. He's just doing such a great job leading. His presence is one where When he asks some people to do things, they're doing it. The respect that he has is different than last year. He didn't start the year as our starting quarterback, so I think there's just a different. He walks around the building a little bit different great confidence in him. But he knows the technical things that he needs to continue to work on. I think Tommy Rees has done a great job of laying those things out. They've worked on them. He'll continue to work on them. But I think what I see is just a young man that is really confident in himself and holding others accountable.
Thanks. So there's Brian Kelly's thoughts on Ian Book. Evan Sharpley, former Notre Dame quarterback, go.
That's code for we have a really good quarterback on our hands. If we're nitpicking at those things, and that's a good spot to be. It's not he can't throw the 14-yard comeback. We got a problem.
Yeah.
He's not able to get our offense into the right play or check into the proper protection. We got a problem there. They are now talking about, okay, you know, we're looking at we want him to take a little bit of a larger role as being a program face, not just a leader on the offense or a leader in the quarterback room, but we are looking at him to be, this is Ian Book. He's QB1 of Notre Dame. He is the face of this program right now.
It's funny because I remember Media Day last year inside the Goog, and Media Day this year will also be just like last year. It'll be midway through camp, a couple weeks in, after we've actually gotten to see him on the field a little bit. But I remember Brandon Wimbush was obviously the starting quarterback going into last season, so he was asked to come to Media Day. And I remember Ian Book kind of slipping through the room over there and not really getting any attention at all. He just kind of walked through on his way to someplace. And, of course, now, a year later, it's going to be a little bit different. There's going to be a ton more attention on Ian Book this time around.
And rightly so. You know, it's who's kind of under the radar. You know, I don't think any of us in the media last year really knew, you know, what that's, you know, we were told it was a 50-50 split. We knew going into game one that there was maybe going to be a package for Ian Book. But we didn't know at that point what the blue zone was.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, we kind of learned about that in the first couple of games when Ian Book went in the plus 20-yard line area. So, you know, it's a different world now, you know, for him as far as preparation is concerned and where he is. You know, what's nice, though, is he experienced that at, you know, the tail end of that season, or really for the large chunk of the end of the season, where he was the guy. So he's experienced that from a media standpoint. On there's a much larger microscope. There's a much brighter light on you now versus what you were doing last fall camp. So I don't think that that's necessarily going to phase him. But it is going to be a new experience because he didn't experience that last fall. So, you know, you hope from the coaching staff, and I would assume that everyone that's listening and the entire Notre Dame fan base, that his offseason preparation mentally and physically, that he did his due diligence on that, and now he's able to lead this Irish offense and ultimately this Irish team onto the field come the 2nd of September and be able to do some great things this fall.
The Manning passing camp is probably the...
Don't waste your money.
Don't waste your money? Well, guess what?
I know he did.
Ian Book did.
I know he did. I know he did.
So Ian Book went there. Let's hear what Brian Kelly had to say about that during his press conference today.
But I just think, yeah, exposure amongst elite players, just I think you come back and there's a kind of a self-realization that I'm pretty good. Pretty good player. I can hang with anybody in the country, and you know, I've got to do these things as well. I mean, the great thing about it is, you know, being aware, right? Self-awareness. You know, he came back and he knows the things that he needs to work on, but he also knows the things that he's really good at. And so, I think when you're exposed to elite players, that's always a positive thing. So he came back, and I think it was a positive experience for him.
I'll tell you what, Brian Kelly's had a good offseason. These are good answers.
Yeah.
These first, well, three clips now have been pretty spot on. No, I mean, it's a good point. And I joke around about, you know, it being a waste of money. As far as, like, the development side goes, I guess that's more what I'm getting into.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're probably going to stand in a line with, you know, 5 or 10 guys that are all really good college quarterbacks. And you're going to take your rep, and then you're going to watch the other 9 guys take their reps. Are you really going to learn something? You're probably not going to leave there saying, man, I've been taking the five-step drop the wrong way, or, you know, my escape mechanics are, they're not up to par. No, it's exactly what Brian Kelly said, is you're going to surround yourself with some other guys that are good at the same position that you play, and it's going to open up your mind to, here's where I excel, and maybe it's going to say, you know, here are a couple areas that I can spend a little more time on. But it's not going to be to the point where it's like, man, this is like earth-shattering news to me that I didn't already know. So, it gets him some extra reps in a good atmosphere. And same when he goes home. You know, I saw a video on social media, I think today, of him when he went back to his high school and was putting in some work there. You know, he's probably going to get the same out of that when there weren't 10 other guys around him than he was at the actual Manning passing camp. So, you know, I'm not trying to downplay it by any means, but I think Brian Kelly hit the hammer with the nail there on it and said that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And he probably knew those things even when he was at Notre Dame, because Brian Kelly and Tommy Rees and the offensive staff, they were probably telling him that.
Exactly.
But to maybe have somebody else say that to you, say, man, you're really good, you know, when you move to your right and you escape a little bit and you're throwing that cross, you know, that's really good. Or, hey, here's what you need to do when you're in the pocket. Maybe this is what's happening with your lower half. You know, those may be some small things, but for it to be a complete rewrite, that ain't happening.
All right, he's Evan Sharpley. I'm Sean Stiers. Leprechaun Lunch, Sean and Sharpley, 96.1 WSBT at Five Star Dive Bar in downtown Elkhart. We're going to take a time out. When we come back, you'll get some more comments from Brian Kelly, including the place kicker punter situation, and also former Notre Dame baseball teammate of Evans, David Phelps, is with the Chicago Cubs right now.
Chester.
Get a thought or two on that.
That's what we call it.
When we return, he made his Cubs debut last night in his hometown, St. Louis. Chester. I don't know if I realized that. We'll come back and get that story on New Cub. David Phelps plus more Brian Kelly comments. That's coming up. John and Sharpley, Leprechaun Lunch, 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. Leprechaun Lunch, John and Sharpley, 96.1 WSBT. On an hour later than usual. Of course, if you missed any of the show today, you can find our podcast either in the WSBT app at WSBTradio.com or also at iTunes. Just search for us on iTunes with Leprechaun Lunch, so you can find us in all of those places. Want to be sure and wish Michael Burch well. He kind of gave a farewell today. The media media relations guy for Notre Dame football. He's been at Notre Dame for 13 years. When you and I were still doing some baseball, he was the baseball media relations guy and assistant football guy. So good luck to Michael Burch. Good dude. He is heading to Pittsburgh to work for the Steelers. That's right. So good luck to him. Well, here's some more Brian Kelly comments here in just a second. We mentioned the guy you called Chester, David Phelps, another teammate of yours with Notre Dame baseball. He's been in the major leagues for, what, about the last seven, eight years, I guess now. Just got traded to the Chicago Cubs to help the bullpen. Got a strikeout last night against the Cardinals. Give us some quick insight into David Phelps.
Well, I've got some good stories on David.
What's the shortest best one you've got?
Well, the reason why we call him Chester is, you know, the guy in the Cheetos.
Uh-huh.
He kind of looks like him. He kind of moves around like him.
Yeah, that's.
I love David Phelps, but he's a strange cat, and that's why we called him Chester. All right, but we also had a story. It'll have been David and me, Brett Graffy, and somebody else. That Paul Maneri would have had a – we had a it was like a pitch-off, hit-off to see who was going to travel for the weekend.
Really?
And I remember I faced both Phelps and Graffy, and I hit a double off of David Phelps. And then I got to travel, and David had to stay home.
Man.
But this was like, you know, Phelps, his first couple of years really didn't do much.
No, he didn't. I remember that in Paul Maneri's last year in 06, at Seton Hall, there was kind of an infamous kind of a meltdown. Things didn't go right at Seton Hall, and he was really kind of up and down. And it really took until his junior year or so.
I think it was his junior year he started to trend up, and You know, obviously parlayed that success. You know, he started to develop a little more velocity and a command of a couple of pitches.
Really good curveball now.
Two-seam, four-seam, and a good off-speed pitch, too. So, you know, it was pretty cool to see his progression because he was a guy that we needed there towards the end of – granted, we weren't, you know, a powerhouse really at that point. But, you know, he was able to turn that into now a nearly 10-year career in the major leagues.
Yep. And still
– Chester.
That's right. 32 years old now and still going strong.
Is that how old I am? Come on.
I just remember he used to wear black all the time.
You know what? I think we need to, you know, we tried to do this with AJ Pollock, and I know he's been struggling, right?
Yeah.
We tried to have the home run derby with him when he was going to be around in this area before he got hurt. I think we need to recreate this pitch off hit off with David Phelps sometime this fall.
All right, so we're,
I don't know where I stand,
we're developing a wing contest with T-shirts and David Phelps.
Listen,
as
you know,
well.
I've never lacked in the confidence department. So, you know, David, if you come up there, just kind of stick with the four seam and the two seam. Maybe not much of the off speed, and I think I may accidentally run into a ball.
He'll be listening to the podcast later.
We'll send it to him. We'll tag him on on Twitter or something.
That's right.
Twitter.
I don't know if he does or not. We'll have
David,
to see if we can find him on
Chester
there.
Chester Phelps.
Since we're on the subject. Of baseball, what did you think about that whole Amir Garrett Reds Pirates brawl the other day?
Well, from a fan perspective, it was pretty fun to watch. You know,
I thought it was too. I didn't really know much about Amir Garrett. I mean, he's a pretty good relief pitcher, but I'm a big Amir Garrett fan at this point
I mean, you take on the whole team. I hope that like Derek Dietrich and some of those other dudes decided, you know what. You know, you're eating and drinking on us the rest of the year.
That's
now.
Right. I would hope so.
And honestly, like at some points, you know, you can only throw at guys so many times before it's like, all right,
enough is enough.
Get us in a cage and let's do something. You know, we can go back and forth on this, and we can have ejections, and we can throw in. But I don't know. Let's do like some cage match and
well,
set that up.
The whole thing. You know, there was retaliation for Dietrich and the whole that goes back to early in the season.
He pimped that home run.
No, he did. But
you know
I
what?
Mean,
and do you want to talk about that real quick too? I mean, if you don't want a hitter to do that, don't throw it over the middle of the plate.
Well, don't throw it over the middle of the plate. And Chris Archer was also did. I think the Reds, the Dietrich and the Reds thought maybe he celebrated a little bit too much earlier because of a strikeout in the whole thing. What do you think about the practice though? The Pirates, it's one thing to throw inside, but they like to throw up and in with those fastballs. And I don't, as a guy who stood there in the box, I wouldn't think that you're very fond of that philosophy.
No. I mean, it's dangerous. I mean, you got 95 plus coming at your face. I mean, that's not just sending a message. I mean, you can hurt somebody.
You can end somebody's career.
Put it in their ribs. Put it in their butt cheeks.
No problem with that.
I have no problem. I will gladly look at you and say, I get it.
Yeah.
I got a lot of meat there on that backside. That's fine.
Right.
That's why I squat and work out. I will go take my base at first.
Yeah.
I am on now. Okay.
Right.
But if you're gonna throw it at my face,
Yeah.
I'll fight you for that.
And I think that's why more of these guys are wearing the flap on the front of their helmet now.
You see a lot more of that now than you did probably 5 years ago.
Yeah, and it used to be just like a guy who happened to get hit, but now guys are wearing them all the time. And it's not even guys who are hanging over the plate who are wearing them either. And
it's not the Brett Lillies of the world.
No, that's right. And I mean, Clint Hurdle got suspended 2 games. Garrett got suspended 8. Pirates pitcher Leon.
He shouldn't have got suspended any games.
Oh, man. But, I mean, Clint Hurdle, I honestly think because this is Joe Torre and that whole crew, they need to be talking to Clint Hurdle about this, in my opinion, because this whole philosophy of up and in obviously is coming from him. And I get that he's old school, but it's one thing to go inside. It's another thing to go up and in with that stuff.
Yeah, go inside, not up and in the face. Nope.
All right, we are winding down. We will be back here at 5-Star at a regular time next week. We'll be here at noon after we've gotten the chance to see a couple of...
More football.
That's right. We'll see our first practice on Sunday in full. We will also see one next Thursday in full, so we'll have plenty to talk about. We'll have some comments from Brian Kelly, some of the players as well. So we've got all that going when we're back here at noon. And again, if you missed any of the show... You can find our podcast, WSBTRadio.com, the WSBT app, and also on iTunes. Well, I will talk to you next week.
Sounds good. I'll see you then.
All right. He's Evan Sharpley. I'm Sean Stiers for our studio producer, Garrett Kaser. And thanks to Darren as well for cutting our audio, WSBT South Bend.